Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Now, just the other day, Tony decided to post this quote on her Instagram, and then all of a sudden her phone blew up. So here's the quote. If it doesn't inspire you, make you happy, or make you money, it's time to make yourself unavailable. Now, just think about that quote for just a moment and what's going on through your mind right now. My first reaction to this quote was that I don't agree with it. So presumably, Tony, you posted this for a reason, right?
Yes.
I mean, you agree with it. Do you agree with it? Or
I do. And I want to give credit. It's from the Champagne Diet. That's the Instagram handle. She wrote a book called Girl Code, I think. So if you want to go follow her, she posts a lot of female type inspirational content. But I totally
agree. Is this
agree
like
with
a female
it.
Quote then?
I mean, I don't like, know if it's. It I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. Like, most of her stuff is sort of female entrepreneur related.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that the guys can't follow her, though, of course. But, of course, I agreed with it or I wouldn't have posted it. But I was surprised when I started getting messages saying it's not that simple. It's not that cut and dry. How do you actually know? Sometimes things just don't make you happy, but you still have to do them. Which, I mean, I think at a basic level is true. I mean, there are things in life that you have to do that don't make you happy or money.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, it's almost the antithesis of what I usually tell people. Like, I usually tell people, like, life is just getting used to the drudgery, which sounds bad. There's probably a better way to put
that
it.
That quote's not going to get shared on Instagram.
Yeah, it's not going to get shared.
But life you do is a drudgery. Suck it up. Actually, that will get shared.
Because I'm just thinking back to my childhood. Like, my parents made me study for a lot of stuff, and I hated every minute of it. It didn't inspire me. It didn't make me happy. And I was too young to make money, so at that point. But I mean, in retrospect, I got used to that grind and the fact that I was suffering. And so now when I suffer, it's actually not a big deal. Like, I can take a lot of stuff for a long period of time.
Okay. So that it sort of reminds me of, so the Olympics are about to start. I think they are starting right about now. Uh-huh. And I love the Olympics. I don't know how you feel about them, but I love them too.
Yeah.
But when I watch these athletes, I'm like embarrassed to be human. Right? Because they're so phenomenal. Like, their abilities are just, they're the best of the best of the best, right?
Right.
And you watch these, like, these swimmers, right? They jump in the pool and they swim, you know, whatever, 100 meters. And it's like, you're like, they would lap me 6 times, right? Like, I wouldn't even get off the block and they would be to the other side of the pool. So, but I think about, you know, they all got there because they probably at age 4 were going to swim camp at 6 a.m. for, you know, I mean, some of these Olympians are like 20 years old, right? So for the last 15 years of their life, they've done nothing but the sport. And that can't have been fun the whole time.
I'm sure it did not make them happy. I'm sure they wanted to quit, just like I wanted to quit piano as a kid. Is this going to be like a psychology lesson for me?
I was just going to say, because both of us took piano lessons and both of us did not like to practice. So,
I mean, I did not feel inspired. Like, when I was playing volleyball, there were days when I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm doing this jumping exercise for 30 minutes straight. This isn't volleyball.
Well,
this
I would have thought that too if I was a 5'9". You know? I mean, what were your chances? Come on.
It's 5'10", woman. Don't take an inch off of me.
Okay. Well, so I think the quote has more to do with making, like, business and time decisions. So I don't think it's a quote that you should apply to every aspect of your life, because you have to go grocery shopping or you have to at least put your order in to the
Instacart. Well, I'm considering major things here, not like grocery shopping or.
Yeah. And there's things in life that we all have to do that we don't love and don't make us money and probably don't make us happy, but they're just part of adulting. So I definitely think that's the case. But I think when I think about it in terms of business, then I think it's actually something that you should. I don't know. What is it? If it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no. We were talking about that right before we started recording. I know there's more to the quote than that, but.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about this in the context of business. Okay. Yeah. So when I started my blog, I still don't like writing. I really don't. Does writing inspire me? Does writing make me happy? But then there's the money equation.
It does make you money.
However, back in the day, I did not think it was going to make me that much money, right? It wasn't making any money for like 3 years. So
what kept you at it?
I mean, I thought that eventually it would. I mean, I gave myself like a 5-year runway,
right?
But I didn't think it would actually make as much money as it does. Like, I was, to be honest, when I first started, I would have been happy if it just paid the mortgage.
Right.
So, But if you're judging like the level, I mean, did it make me happy? Did it inspire me? No. And it didn't make money for a long time, but I kept it going because it's kind of like studying for the SATs in fourth grade, right? You just do it.
Nobody just does that. Nobody.
Or like for volleyball, if you want to improve your vertical, you just do all these jumping exercises, even though they're really boring, right?
Right. But there's an end goal in sight for that.
But that's not the quote.
That's true.
Like if it doesn't reach your, if you don't have an end goal, right?
Okay, I think about it in terms of how many times do I think people, for the most part, say yes to things that they shouldn't say yes to. I think that's just a general rule about people. And I think that they don't really evaluate why they're agreeing to do certain things or take on projects or commit to things. They just do it because it's easier than saying no. Saying yes is usually easier than saying no for most people, not for you.
Is that how we became partners?
Yes, I just didn't know how to say no. So, but I think people don't, sometimes they don't evaluate. I have an example. Years ago, when I worked consulting, I got asked to be on this committee to rebrand a fairly large company. And they were doing this whole research project. They wanted to fly me to the city where they were and like sit in on like 3 days of like talks. And they basically wanted to rebrand this company. And I was so excited about it and I wanted to do it. But then when I started thinking about it, I was like, what is this actually going to benefit me? Like, I have to be away for 3 days. It's 3 days I'm not working on my other businesses. Yes, I would be getting paid because it was like a consulting project. But was it going to make me happy or inspire me to do other things? No, probably not. I'm going to be sitting in a room with 10 other people and I'm just going to be listening to ideas that I think are dumb all day. So I ended up saying no, because at the end of the day, when I started evaluating it sort of based on like those requirements, while it would have made me money, the other two factors just weren't there for me.
So in that quote, it was or, yeah. Or, right?
Because I don't think you should do things just for money.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, sometimes you should because you need to pay your bills, but
I mean, maybe I'm just overanalyzing this quote, but it just seems like if it does one of the three, right?
What I think is funny about the fact that you disagree with this quote is because when I first read the quote, you were the first person I thought of.
Really?
Yes.
Is that like a good thing or? I mean, a lot of things I choose to do, I guess there's no time frame for this quote, I think is the problem.
So there needs to be like a within the next 6 months.
X number of years. But yeah, I mean, for new things, this quote is true for me, I guess. But there's a lot of things I choose to do that don't do any of those three, actually.
Okay, so name one of them.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, so when I was coaching volleyball.
Your kids?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be fun at one point. But then there's just something... This was kind of a unique experience because like there was this other big coach that kind of dictated what the other coaches did. And I just didn't like that because I wanted to run my own practice like the way I wanted to run. But like sometimes when you like coach your kids, it's hard because like your kid might not listen to you whereas they'll listen to someone else, right?
Yeah.
So I was just finding my, and maybe this isn't a good example, but I mean, it didn't inspire me. I wanted to do it just so I could be a part of their lives. But in the end, I'm not sure if it made me really happy. And it definitely didn't make me any money.
Okay, but I mean,
as a parent, don't you just volunteer for stuff just so, like, you know, because you want to be a part of your
child's
life?
I mean, I try not
life.
To volunteer for anything, but if I don't have to. But this is where you're kind of, like, mixing, like, the business and life. Like, I think there's a lot of things in life that we do that are like that. You know, like I've done the room mom thing and I've done those things. I don't like doing them, but I feel like they're important. I feel like they're important for my kids.
Right. Yeah.
But I think in business, it's different.
Okay, sorry. Let's talk about business then.
Because I think when you start bringing in like family stuff, there's a lot of stuff you do in a family that's maybe not any of those, but you do them because you're part of a family.
Right. Okay. All right. So, okay. Strictly in the context of business. Then.
So let's talk about YouTube. Because about a year and a half ago, you decided to go, we'll say, all in on YouTube. But you made it your focus. You started creating videos. They're well edited. You focused on growing your channel. And you've kept at it for the past 18 months.
Right.
So what was your process in deciding, like, hey, now it's time for me to go all in on YouTube?
So I needed just another source of lead gen. And then I found that, like, the podcast converts a lot of customers. And video was just another one of those components, right? It works better than the written word. So I was like, okay, I should probably be on this platform.
Okay. And then,
so I guess it's money, really. I mean, even though, you know, the channel, it makes a little bit of money, but that was not the intention. The intention was lead gen for
But that does make you money at the end of the day.
It does, yeah. So what was the point of this example? Sorry. Were you just trying to prove it right or?
No. I was just trying to say that you were wrong. Yeah, that's right. No, but I think like when you're starting to, so you and I talked, I don't know when it was, a couple days ago, and we were talking about like what should we be focusing on? What is the next thing we should be working on? Like what's the future for us, both of us and our businesses, like separately?
Yep.
And we started talking about those things, and I was talking about how, you know, there was something specific that I'm doing that makes me really happy. Like I love doing it. And yep. You were like, then you should do more of that, right?
Right.
So I think a lot of times we don't, you know, I think especially if you're running your own business, you can just chase after things all the time and you don't actually step back and evaluate what you're doing all the time. And I think when you do have your own business, you do need to evaluate. I would say, I don't know how often you need to do that, but I would say like once a month, every quarter, say like, hey, what am I doing in my business? Is it making me money? Is it making me happy? Is it inspiring me? Or, you know, and I think there's outliers to that, right? Like there's just certain things that you have to do because you run your, like, I hate doing accounting. You know that. I hate doing my books. Like I could hire a bookkeeper, sure. But like, that's something I do. I guess it makes me money and that I'm not in jail with the IRS. But, you know, I think there's always those outlier type things. But I think for the most part, people need to start evaluating what they're doing based on those things. And I think we're actually seeing that phenomenon because of COVID.
It's
so
true.
You know, last year all these people got laid off or they were told to work from home, and all these people realized like, hey, I don't like going into the office. I didn't like my job. And so they didn't go back to their, like, people that lost their job didn't go back into that industry. They completely changed careers because they realized that they weren't actually happy and they had this opportunity to make a big life change, but it would have never happened had there not been like this catastrophic, you know.
You know what's funny about that is one of the companies I used to work for used to offer a 6-week sabbatical if you've been there for like 5 years or something like that. But they removed that policy because after the sabbatical, people would come back and leave the company.
Well, but I think that's a good, I mean, that's a good point though. I know for you, and maybe you can talk about this a little bit. There are periods of time where you will text me and you will say, I need a break. And you will basically hibernate for like a week and I won't hear from you. You won't be active on social media, like outside of your scheduled stuff, but you will like completely isolate. And during that week, you sort of like restructure your life.
Yes. I only do that when I feel like things are getting out of control. Like in my week, I like to have 2 free days, ideally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I like to have those 2 free days because whenever there's always like some fire going on,
right?
I dedicate some days just to like fight fires or do whatever the hell I want. And so when it starts creeping into that, and it's happened recently, right? I think I've told you about it. Then it's time to cut back. And then I just make a list of everything that I do in a given week. And then I just start dropping things on the floor.
Okay. So can we talk about that? Like
sure.
How, cause that's, I think the crux of this is, if you look at your life and you look at that quote and that, and if you disagree or if it doesn't resonate with you, or you look at that quote and say, you know, everything that I'm doing doesn't make, like, I'm not happy, I'm not inspired, and I'm not making the kind of money I think I should make, one of those things. So I would actually say, make a list of all the things you do. Make a list. If you have a 9-to-5 job, make a list of all your responsibilities at your job that you do so that you can start figuring out, like, you love this part of your job and you don't love this part of your job, right? So I think you can do this no matter what you're doing. You don't have to be like an entrepreneur. But when you do that and you make a list and you start cutting things, first of all, I'm always on the other side of the phone, like crossing my fingers that I'm not cut. That's number one.
It's strange because normally you're just so cocky that you wouldn't even think those
thoughts. Don't cut me. I wait anxiously for the week to end to find out if I'm still on the list. But how do you evaluate it?
Because sound so heartless.
Hey, listen, you wrote the post, how to decide to quit your business partner. Ever since then, I don't trust you.
Well, I mean, I have this numbering system. Actually, we can talk about that post if you want. I'm sure a lot of people haven't read it.
Who's listening? Well, I think that's part of this, right? Because if that quote resonates with you at all and you aren't happy, Like, how do you figure it out? How do you figure out what you should do? How do you figure out if you should quit? Or if you were like you and I, where maybe the beginning of blogging wasn't that great or fun, and we didn't make any money, but we kept at it, and it was a slog, and we sucked it up, just like our piano lessons and whatever else we had to do in life. So, you know, at what point do you decide to quit? And at what point do you decide to keep going and keep persevering? And how do you rank those things? Because I know you have like a complex numbering system.
It's not
that I've rigged for myself, by the way.
It's not that complex. And to be honest with you, I don't remember what all of them are. You know how like you write things down on paper and then
yes,
like this is how you do it. Like once you put your thoughts down, but in reality, like you're not. It's not like as clear cut as all the. Let me just bring up the post real quick so I can remember. Do you have it in front of you right now?
I don't have it in front of me because it has a little PTSD for me. Okay, but I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. But you wrote that post, and I get your weekly emails, and so I open my inbox, and I can't always tell if it's an email from you, like to me, or if it's an email like from your mailing list. And so I see your name, and then I see how to know when to leave your partnership.
It didn't say that. It said, "Should I quit my job or close my business?"
But there was the byline, whatever your subline was about partnership, and I was like, "Is this how he's telling you that we're done?"
Number one, Tony.
Coward, call me.
We shouldn't even be recording this. But number one, I don't do hints. That's just.
You're like, I'm a dude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a guy. Like what I say is.
What I say is what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here are the questions, and we can kind of go down these. So one, is it limiting your growth?
Okay.
So what does that qualify in terms of that quote? It's make you happy or I guess make you money. But it's more personal growth, not money. Right?
I think inspired. Like, how are you growing in your business or your job or your life?
Right, right. So actually, on this post, I have 8 things that I consider. So it's actually more multifaceted, I guess, in that quote. In terms of giving up, though, okay, so here's the one. Like, have you tried your hardest? Like, if you're going to start something, like, do you drop it because, like, it got a little bit too hard? This is, I guess, where that drudgery part comes in.
So I have a theory about trying your hardest.
Okay.
I think most people do not try their hardest.
Oh, I agree.
But I think they don't try their hardest because they want an out if it fails. Because I think it's much harder to say, I did everything and I just couldn't do it.
Like I think it's much easier to say that.
I think it is. But I think for people, it's easier to have an excuse. Well, I just didn't have time, or like, oh, well, you know, my day job really got busy, or, you know, well, my kids are in a lot of activities, because then the responsibility doesn't fall on you for failing. The responsibility falls on outside circumstances that, you know, were out of your control, supposedly. But I think it's hard to say like, hey, I gave 100% and I couldn't do it, because you're just admitting. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's fine because you can't do everything. And not
I don't think that's fine at all. And you know, like one of the...
You don't think it's fine to give 100% and fail?
No. Sorry. The opposite of what you said. The excuse part, right?
But that's... Have you not heard that from everybody we have ever met? I've said it to you.
What? An excuse to fail?
I mean, I've had... Like, I'll do it.
Do what? No, sorry.
Like, I find myself, like, half-assing something.
What? Okay, so
this is not like a regular occurrence to me, but like I'm saying it's much easier for me to say, oh, well, you know, there's a lot going on or my kids got sick or whatever, as opposed to saying like, you know, I just didn't try hard enough.
You know, what's funny is like, as long as we've been working together, like whenever we launch something new, like what do I always say?
I don't know.
You don't know what I always say? I say, let's put our best foot forward and whatever happens, happens.
Yes, you do say that.
Right? Like with the
launch. I do.
No, I'm not accusing you of not doing it, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know the other way. You know what I mean? Like,
well, for the rest of the world.
Well, no, you know why? Because then you'll regret it.
Exactly.
Like,
I agree.
If you didn't at least try, like, the best of your ability, and it, and if you fail and you didn't try, but then you're like, oh, my God, like, what if I did this one thing? It could have been good. And then you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you do. That's accurate.
That doesn't sound good.
Well,
sorry.
But here's the thing. I think when people don't give 100% and then have reasons for that happening, it's not like they're doing it on purpose. I don't think people are setting out to make excuses. I think that's just a function of people's brains. And I'm sorry, an Amazon truck just went by me, a Prime van, and the door, the guy forgot to close the door. So like all the boxes are just like hanging out. I was like, ah, free stuff. Okay. I think it's a product of people's like subconscious and fear of failure. And it's better just to say, oh, it didn't work out than, oh, I failed.
Okay. I mean, I can see that happening. Like, I have some excuses that I give myself too, because you know this about me. Like, eventually I want to start some sort of software or tech sort of business.
Yes.
And I'm just not willing to put in the time. So that's why I'm not starting it.
Yeah. Just yet. But I think that's reasonable. I mean, I think that's reasonable to sit in that for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, one of my best pieces of advice that I like to talk to people about is like, give it 100%. And it's okay. I mean, like, you've actually kind of helped me with this, because I don't like failing at all. I hate it. I hate losing. I hate failing. And to me, it's hard for me to recover, like, personally, when I feel like I've failed. Like, I really get down on myself. But you've kind of made me realize that, like, well, like, when we launched our course, and you're like, I mean, eventually people will sign up for it. You know, I mean, and I think you knew that it would do okay. But you kind of convinced me, like, hey, we're putting something really good out there, and eventually people are going to realize that and buy the course. But it's not a personal insult if people don't buy the course right away. And I take everything personally.
It's funny. I don't remember saying that part. I just remember, hey, let's just do our best. Yeah. And then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. But that's the same. That's what you were saying. Like, if we put out our best, then we can't be upset with the outcome.
Right.
And I don't necessarily always think that way. A lot of times I'm like, but if I do my best, then I can be upset because people don't like me.
Interesting.
Not necessarily a healthy way to think, but.
Yeah. So back to this culling part.
Yes.
So when I cull, I go through this evaluation process. I'll give you an example. Like, I think Instagram is one of those things. I haven't culled it yet because I'm very interested in doing the Instagram DM automation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on one of my lists to do's. But if that didn't come out, I probably would have called it already.
Okay. So we talked about two things already on your list of 8 points.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
So what's
sparking joy that's make you happy. Okay. Is what you're doing kind of hurting your health?
Well, hold on. Let's go back to sparking joy.
Sparking joy. Okay.
Do you give that a number? Is it like a 1 through 5?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, these 8 questions I ask myself, what mm-hmm. the article does not address is like the weighting factor.
Right.
Right. Like, what do you value the most at the time? Like, if you're hard up for cash, obviously you're going to weigh the money part more.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you're already kind of financially set, you're going to weigh the happiness factor more. Right.
Yeah. So how do you, because I feel like for you, I mean, how do you weigh the happiness factor?
See, happy is actually not a good term, because I, like,
joy, sorry. A lot I of things like to use happy really, because it's my brand. I want to throw it out there as much as possible.
They don't really spark. I'm trying to think. Like, nothing. Sparking joy isn't really the exact word I would put.
Because I can't ever see you actually using those words.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't spark joy. But there's things that I do that I enjoy. Like, my podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I use it so I can meet other people. And I enjoy meeting other people. I don't necessarily enjoy running the podcast, per se.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a means to an end.
But you like the networking side of it, and you like meeting all the people. That's like the joy part for you, is that you've met so many really cool people because of the podcast.
Right. And so that's mainly about me, as sparking joy as it gets for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's as joyful as you come.
Right. I mean, even in the conference that we run together, does it spark joy? It does when I'm there, but it definitely doesn't
outside of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I actually feel like it's funny, because I know you and I, every year we evaluate, like, are we doing this again? Is it worth our time? We sort of run through this in a less official way. But there's just, I think not having conferences for the past year and a half and sort of going through that has made me realize how much happiness conferences bring me, whether it's attending, speaking, running them, just that socializing factor. Because for probably more so for me than for you, although actually, no, most of your friends that you live around aren't entrepreneurs, but
they are, but kinda, in a different sense.
Yeah. Not in the sense that we are. We're not, they're not small potatoes.
Right. They're, so, they're VC funded. Like,
Yeah. They're not really. but like for me, it's the only time that I'm around people that I feel like are like, just like me. And so that you can have these conversations with those people that aren't weird. I can remember being at a female mastermind retreat several years ago. And one of the women that was there was like, you know, she was struggling because her kids, she had a bunch of kids. They were younger. You know, she didn't take them to Carline. Like, she had someone doing that. And she had someone doing some other things. And she's like, I like spending time with my kids, but I don't want to spend time with my kids doing like meaningless things. I want to have my time with my kids be meaningful because I really like to work. She's like, I love to work. And as a female, there's lots of circles where you can't say that. You know, you can't really say that sitting in like mom's group, you know, with a bunch of toddlers. You can't say like, listen, I love to work. I love being away from my kids and working. That's not necessarily a positive. But when you're in that entrepreneur space and you're with a bunch of other people that are similar to you, you can have those types of conversations without feeling judged or guilty. So I've missed out on that because that's where I feel like a lot of my friendships have come from is, you know, people that are doing similar things to me, not the same, but we're all kind of living the same type of life.
Sure. No, I mean, 100% agree, which is why we keep doing the event.
Yeah.
Even though I literally have thoughts about shutting it down every single year.
I know you do. Because I'm always like, before I sign...
Right, exactly. And I'll bring it up. Hey, should we just shut this down? Because last year was very stressful. The whole COVID thing left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yes, that was exceptionally stressful. Yeah. But what I like about what you do is that you wait till I've spent like 3 weeks and 187 emails going back and forth. And then I hand you the final product and you say, do we really want to do this? I like that you don't do that in the beginning before I've invested 40 hours of my week into doing that. That's what I really appreciate. That's what sparks joy for me.
Well, I haven't said no or anything. And it's not really all up to me. Like you could apply like the noose or whatever, the lever, right?
That's right. When you say that though, I always feel like that pain in the pit of my stomach of like, oh, here we go.
So incidentally, one of my
pros and cons lists that I have to bring out every year.
One of my questions is, how often do you think about quitting?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. This is not like the Seller Summit once a year type of thing. This is like every week you think about it at least once. That tells you something. Actually, right now I have a friend who's thinking about leaving a company that she's been with for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And they just keep throwing money at her, right? And so it'd be like the cushy thing to do.
Right.
But she has this other offer that's really good, but it's a smaller outlet and it doesn't pay as much. And she's considering leaving and she's agonizing over it. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, if you're agonizing over this, and if you were even looking, like, you should just leave.
Yeah.
The job, right?
Because if you're totally happy, you aren't looking for an alternative.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this applies to everything in life, actually. Yeah. Right? Right?
It does.
Yeah.
I have all these thoughts right now. Wrong podcast. But let's talk about thinking about quitting, because you and I run a course teaching people how to create content to market whatever they're doing, course, products, memberships, whatever. A lot of people feel like quitting because it's hard. And in the beginning, you and I both know it's hard to get started. It's hard to, you know, figure out WordPress. It's hard to figure out how to make YouTube thumbnails, whatever it is. So how do you balance like, and we have a podcast about like how to know when to quit and how to suck it up and not quit. So how do you gauge, you know, I want to quit because this is miserable and I want to quit because this is hard?
See, I always think about running when I think about this.
I always want to quit running. Always.
I always want to quit running. Like within like the first like half mile, I'm like, why am I doing this?
I do too. I'm like, this sucks. I could be on a bicycle. Right. I think that every time.
I think about it, I could be on the home at home, like watching something on TV. But anyway, the whole point is like with running, like I've experienced the feeling post run before. So I guess if you've never experienced that before, you don't know what's waiting for you. But I always surprise myself actually how far I can go. And if you've never experienced that feeling, you got to just experience it once, and then it makes it all easier. That, I think this is why, like, once you've started a business before, the subsequent ones are a lot easier. Because you know kind of like what's waiting for you, and you know that if you just push yourself a little bit harder, you can get there. But if you've never experienced that feeling before, your first instinct is going to be to just give up. And so in that respect, like if this is your first time, you should make sure you push through the pain, essentially.
Yeah, because I think that's where people get hung up a lot. Where do you quit because you're miserable, or do you quit are you trying to quit because you're miserable because it's hard, which are two totally different things.
Right. I don't know. I feel like I haven't really quit anything that I haven't 100% tried. I'm trying to think the last thing I really quit, cold turkey. Maybe you can tell me. Have I quit anything cold turkey recently? Or have you?
I don't think so.
Have you?
Have I? No, I have not.
No. I mean, when's the last thing that you quit, actually? Well, actually, I know what the answer to that is, but...
Next.
All right. Let's talk about the next question on my list here. What is currently keeping you in your current situation?
Ooh. Okay.
Right? So the three things, that original quote, like money, I'm sure people have more factors than just those three things, which is probably why
people... It's just an Instagram quote.
Just an Instagram quote, right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to make me happy. It doesn't have to make me money. But if it's something that I feel that needs to get done, then I'll do it. And I'm trying to think of an example right now.
But here's the thing with that. I feel like if it's something that needs to get done, it probably leads to one of those three things once it's done.
It's possible. Like in the long run. You know what? I think the whole thing that throws us all off is the time frame, right? Most people don't think past like the next month.
Yes, I agree. Most people do not have a long-term view of anything.
So a lot of things that you do, like you gotta think, I think at least a year off, if not like longer, like 3 to 5 years. And that's really hard to do, actually. It's hard for me to do.
Yeah, so for I'm thinking about you, a couple weeks ago, you had that problem on your site and it took you like a week to figure out.
Yes.
I don't remember what exactly it was, but it was like a solid week of you plugging away trying to figure out this like one piece of code, right?
Yep.
And then you figured it out. Well, that week was not a great week for you and it took you away from a lot of other things you needed to do. But at the end of the day, fixing that is actually better for your business in the long run. So it's probably going to help with money or happiness. It's definitely not going to inspire you, but might inspire you because you did something cool. Like you figured something out. And I always think that's kind of inspiring when you can solve a problem.
It does feel good. It sucks during.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels good.
It's like the running. It sucks during, but then when you're done, it feels really good because you feel like you've accomplished something.
Here's what I found about myself. And I don't know if this applies to other people, but when we'll just use coding, even though no one else relates to this, but it's fine.
Like I'll try to break it down for regular people once you're done.
When there's something that I can't solve, I found that if I just literally keep at it, like every minute of every single day, like eventually the answer actually just comes. It's just a matter of time. Like even though like the whole time I'm thinking, okay, I'm never going to solve this. I'm never going to solve this. I'm never going to solve this. But for some reason, like at some point, like things just sink in. This was like me in college too. This could be some class where I have no idea what the hell is going on. But then if I just keep at it, then it just takes time for things to sink in sometimes is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. And actually, I can make a similar example is I just started doing some consulting for some e-commerce people. And, you know, as we talk about, like you and I both use Drip. I actually use Drip for my e-commerce store, too. But I used to use Klaviyo. But I haven't touched Klaviyo in probably a year. Well, the person that I'm working with is on Klaviyo. And as you know, when I first started using Klaviyo 5 years ago, I think I cussed you out on chat for like 4 days trying to figure out how to do things. Now, Klaviyo is a lot more user-friendly today, but I mean, I think you still have PTSD over that a little bit.
I think it's just as user-friendly as before. Sorry, go on.
No, I'm
joking.
Not.
I'm just pushing your buttons.
Yeah. But anyway, I remember when I finally figured things out in Klaviyo and it started to make sense to me after I sat there for several days and just worked through it and watched the tutorials and started implementing it. Then it started to make sense. And so last week, you know, I told this person that I would help them. And then I ended up jumping in the middle of like one of their biggest weeks of the year, which was probably not the best timing. But like instead of being able to like come in and like acclimate myself to like their branding and their messaging, it was like we need to send 17 emails in the next 7 days, you know.
Right.
So I'm immediately in there like working, you know, there's no time to, you know, get acclimated. And I'm using Klaviyo again for the first time in a while. And, you know, it's very different than Drip. So things that I am like can do in my sleep, I didn't know how to do anymore. Like I had to go relearn it. But, you know, after like 48 hours of sitting in Klaviyo, I was like, oh, I remember this. But it was a really good feeling to sort of just like push through as a, because, you know, like, you know me, I get frustrated really easy with technology type things. But this, I've sort of like, over the time changed my perspective a little bit, and I have that same perspective. If I just keep working it and just keep doing it, eventually it's going to happen. Eventually I'll figure it out. I just need to keep at it. If I get frustrated, I'm not going to be able to do it. So,
I mean, everything sucks when you first start, like even WordPress. I mean, now I like know it like the back of my hand, but when I first started, it was, I was like, man, this thing's not user-friendly at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I always find that whenever you are talking to somebody about, well, it was like when you and I started doing TikTok, it's more like, how do we edit videos in TikTok? How does this work? Like, how do we, you know, there were like all these things that we had to learn.
Well, I still haven't figured that out yet, but yeah, go on.
Well, but we know how to do more than we did 6 months ago.
Sure. Of course.
And every single time we make a TikTok video, we increase our knowledge base on doing that. We learn a new thing, or we discover something by watching other people's videos or doing research on it, whatever it is. But over time, like now I can put up a TikTok video in a really quick amount of time. Whereas, you know, the first time I tried to put up a TikTok video, it probably took me an hour.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know for you, you were spending a ton of time.
I was like, I don't know if I can sustain this. That's what I was telling myself.
Yeah.
Like, I need to find an easy way to do this so I can put them out regularly.
But that just, I think that whole thing comes through persistence. And I think, so as your point about there's no time frame to that quote, I think a lot of things will actually inspire you if you keep at them, because once you figure it out or solve it, that's actually a really cool feeling. And it's very, I think it's empowering.
It is, totally. Totally empowering.
Okay, what's your next one?
The next one just has to do with your attitude. Okay. Like, you know
me,
I actually had a bad attitude about something that I just did recently, as you know.
Yes, yes.
And if like, so what I do, and this is really hard for me to do, but sometimes I try to take a step back and I ask myself, am I feeling this way because I just have a bad attitude about it? Or mm-hmm. is it really as bad as, you know, it really seems? And I want to say a lot of the time, it's just because I'm going into it with the wrong attitude.
I would say most of the time for most people, it's just a bad attitude.
Yeah, because you can like, if you take a different point of view on something, like that can fundamentally change everything.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
So for example, this friend who is leaving her job, or thinking about leaving her job, like if she thinks about it like, hey, you know, like I could spend all my time with my family and just pocket the cash. And that's like another way of thinking about it, even though I'm not challenged at work.
Right.
Right. Either that, or that's the reason that she wants it, one or the other, but either way. Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to have all the freedom.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm quitting something. Yeah. I guess this all boils down to happiness, really. Like if you lump all that stuff that we just talked about into happiness, then I guess that a quote applies for everything.
You're like, just lump it all together because money makes you happy.
I just know that a lot of things I do don't really make me happy. They don't necessarily make me money. And very few things inspire me.
That's a sad life. What are you doing?
It is. It is sad. I mean, I guess Elon Musk inspires me. But
okay, yeah. But I don't agree with that for you.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Because I think for you, you have a master's in engineering?
Yeah.
Like you're highly educated, unlike me, you know.
What are you talking about? You went to college?
I know, but I have a degree in government. I don't have, I'm like not going to be able to go get a job. Like you could go get a job tomorrow if you wanted to go get a job. I mean, I could go get a job tomorrow too, but it would be at Applebee's. So.
Okay. I don't necessarily agree with that, but go on.
I'm joking. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like you have an engineering degree. You worked in the engineering field for 18 years, 17, a long time. You did really well at your company. You had a lot of like professional success in your industry, but yet you chose to walk away from that and do something different. Like you made a choice.
Sure. Sorry. What's your point?
You're like, yeah, quit rubbing it in all those stock options. No. So I think the reason why you made that choice is because for you, you value that free time. You value the free time. You value the time with your family. You value being able to coach your kids in volleyball, whether or not you actually love like the actual process of coaching your kids in volleyball.
Yes.
That's the most important thing to you is time and mainly time with your family. So you've made all your decisions basically with that factor in mind.
I've tried to, yes.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, you are doing those things because what makes you happy at the end of the day is having that extra time because you realize you can't get it back. And so you make decisions and you slog through things that you don't love because you know the end result for you is more time.
It's funny, like for me at least, and I don't know if this is true for you, I actually kind of enjoy the slog now. Like I'm about to go through another slog right after this call, in fact.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be fun. It's not like mentally stimulating or anything.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, I know it's going to be good at some point. So maybe that's what keeps it going.
So I think But I think that's at the core of any quote like this, because there's a lot of quotes out there that are very similar to this. But I think if you can figure out what your core, like what is your core value, what's your core component to your happiness, then you evaluate things in regards to that. And so there's always going to be components that are not fun and annoying and a slog and frustrating. But as long as they're continuing to push you forward to whatever that core value is that you have, it's something worth doing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.